Hello, kitties. Welcome to the Monty's Rockcast Halloween Special. And now, here with a trick or a treat, Monty Colvin.
Hey, it's Monty, and welcome to my Halloween special.
It's very, very scary.
You know, I'll have to admit that Halloween isn't exactly one of my favorite times of the year. And I know a lot of people just love it. They get all excited and want to dress up and all that crap. But the one thing I do enjoy about Halloween is doing my annual Halloween special episode. I get to tell scary stories and play scary music and talk about scary concerts. And I'll be doing all of that stuff as well as reading your emails and top tens. And so sit back and brace yourself as I conjure up the spirits of stupidity. Welcome to the Rockcast.
Good night, Irene. This is frightening.
Okay, I'm going to start things out with something I've been doing for years. It's my scary stories. And I always preface it beforehand by warning everybody to use your own judgment. If you have young children, you might want to get them out of the room. And if you're somebody who is disturbed by terrifying tales of horror, well, proceed at your own risk. Because I don't want anybody complaining to me later, like last year. I got many emails telling me that my scary stories had made them lose sleep. So keep all that in mind, but here we go with scary story number one. It was a day like any other day in a suburban neighborhood when a man asked his wife what was for supper. She replied, I don't know, what do you want? And the man replied, I don't care, what do you want? This went on for about a half an hour until the wife finally said, I don't know, why don't you go to, Kentucky Fried Chicken and get the family pack? The man agreed, got in the car, and drove for about 15 minutes until he got to KFC. When he arrived, a woman behind the counter took his order, which included 12 pieces of chicken and 3 sides and biscuits. Slow and precise, the man told the woman, I want extra crispy, I want mashed potatoes, corn, and coleslaw.
This is a terrible story.
After paying $25 and waiting almost 20 minutes, the man finally received his food and drove home. When he got back to his house, he was now starving. And he rushed in and began removing items from the bag. There he found the chicken, the biscuits, the mashed potatoes, the corn, and of course the green beans. It was then that a shocking realization started overcoming his brain. The man stepped back and said, okay, what's going on here? I didn't order green beans. I ordered coleslaw. Upon figuring out that once again a fast food employee had screwed up his order, the man flew into a violent rage. He screamed, I mean, what the hell? I ordered coleslaw! Is it that hard to get my order right just one time? I mean, I did pay $35 for this crap. It's not that I hate green beans, I just want a coleslaw!
Yeah!
But there would be no coleslaw on this evening, my friends. You see, he was too hungry, and it was too far back to return his order.
No!
The moral of the story? Next time before you leave a fast food joint, you might want to check the bag.
That is scary, people!
I'll have some more scary stories for you later, but right now, let's get to some of your emails, questions, and top tens. And let's start out with some feedback about previous episodes, and here's one from Joe Harold, who says, Hey, Monty, I just discovered the Rockcast, and I think I've listened to about 15 or 20 in the last 5 days. Thank you for your recommendation of Billy Talent. They are awesome, and so are you. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks so much, Joel. It's always great to have new listeners with us. And yeah, Billy Talent, man. Be sure to check out some of those older albums, too. Really cool punk pop type of stuff.
Well, isn't that nice?
I also got a comment from Stephen Hines on Facebook who said, "Great new show, Monty. Someone thought you looked like the singer from Coheed and Cambria. Was that ducking stoner full of shirt or what?"
How could you say that?
Oh, well, I think your spell check is messing with your message there, Stephen. But yeah, when that redneck came up to me and told me I looked like the guy from Coheed and Cambria, I told him that he looked like Jimmy Jeff. I mean, what the duck?
Say what?
I also heard from Dave Ferris on Facebook, and he said he loved my take on fans of Jellyfish and King's X. He said they were great bands of the 90s, and I saw them both at separate times. And he said he always had the feeling that if either of those bands would have ever made it big, that their fans would have said that they sold out. Yeah, you know, that is kind of a good point, Dave. I think some people like to keep those bands to themselves, and they kind of want them to be their own little pet bands. Like, nobody else knows who this is, and I'm just going to talk about them all the time. But you do wonder if people would have actually gotten a little pissed off if they would have ever made it. And I'm kind of surprised people didn't do that with Rush when they started getting hit songs like Spirit of Radio. But it seemed like they were able to keep all of their nerdy diehards and get a whole new group of new nerds.
Running around with their pocket protectors and their white short sleeve shirts.
And speaking of Rush, I saw a pretty cool documentary about them called Rise of the Kings. It was another one of those Eddie Trunk shows on, I think it was AXS. But it went over the early years of Rush from like 68 to 81. And that was the whole time period that I loved. I was way into them when they were doing 2112 and that first live album. And a lot of people hated Geddy Lee's voice, but I just thought they kicked ass. I also heard from a couple of people who said they liked the gray stuff that I played, including Alex Barlow, who said, "Wow, I totally forgot about the grays." And of course, never lacking an opinion, I also heard from Mr. David Whiteman,
the new face of evil.
And David informed me that the grays are a great band, but he enjoys Jason Faulkner's solo albums even better. Oh, really, David? Jason Faulkner has solo albums? Most people would not know that. But guess what? I did, and I have one of them.
That's right.
And no, I do not think it's better than the Grays, but there are a couple of cool songs on there, and here's a little bit of one of them. Yeah, so that's Jason Faulkner, and thanks for your email, David. Always good to hear from you.
Now get lost.
And I also heard from Kevin in New York, who had a comment and a question. And his comment was, "Hey, Monty, been digging the Cowboys a lot here lately. Although I may be an outcast by saying this, but I seem to enjoy Crunchy more."
He's insane!
Well, thank you for saying that, Kevin. I appreciate it. But don't worry about being an outcast, because your secret is safe with me. I won't tell a soul.
You did.
Now, Kevin's question was, "Hey, Monty, I do believe the applause sound clip in Puppet Show by Galactic Cowboys is the same as the applause after the top tens are read on the Rockcast. Am I correct? And do I win anything?"
Absolutely nothing.
Well, Kevin, the deal is that everyone's a winner here on the Rockcast. Because you get stuff like this, Monty's total breakdown of the song Puppet Show.
Wow, what did I do to deserve this?
So the song Puppet Show was on the At the End of the Day CD, and it was part of the Machine Fish suite. And when I wrote this, I had a lot of bad feelings about the music industry and managers and so forth. And I had just really had my fill of being manipulated and used. We'd been screwed out of a lot of money, and we'd just been tossed to the wayside. And when I thought back on everything, it just felt like we'd been a puppet show at a circus or a carnival. And that's why in the middle section, you hear me doing kind of this carnival barker thing. Okay, so I do hear that applause thing you were talking about, Kevin, and I think you're right. It does sound kind of like one of those sound clips you can get on your Apple computer. So, good guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's an interesting tidbit for you. That voice that comes on and says, thank you, that's Peter Frampton from Frampton Comes Alive.
I don't know who that is.
Musically, the song was more along the lines of the Cheap Trick, Wild Hearts vibe that I would further pursue with my crunchy CDs. And since this is the Halloween episode, how about I do a total breakdown of the scariest crunchy song I ever wrote?
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Why not?
No.
I'm gonna do it.
No!
This is Vampire Girl from the crunchy CD Clown School Dropout. One of the things I like about this song is it's really kind of pop in nature, but in the middle I take it in this almost goth metal direction, which is kind of what the premise of the song is based on. Okay, the story behind this song was that I was at this music conference over in England, and I think it was around the late 90s. And there was a lot of musicians and people that liked rock music hanging around. But I kept specifically noticing these two girls who were there, and they had these big capes on. And they had kind of dark makeup on, and they acted kind of mysterious and weird. But I didn't really pay that much attention to them until later when somebody said, they're like casting spells on people. And I thought, I just thought they were weirdos. But they were really freaking everybody out, and when I got home, I wrote this song called Vampire Girl. And it's really just about people who try way too hard to be evil. I recorded this whole album myself in my little home studio, and I actually used the same ADAT recorders that Galactic had used on the Horse That Bud Bought and At the End of the Day albums. I sang all the vocals and played all the instruments except drums. I had a guy named Rod Lincoln play those. And then I had Jeff Sheets mix and master it at his studio. And I didn't have any label, so I put it out myself, and you can still buy that on my website, montycalvin.net. And if you don't have it, you should definitely order it, because I think everyone will agree that Vampire Girl is the scariest crunchy song ever. Vampire Girl! Okay, time for another scary story, but as always, proceed with caution. The name of this one, The Toilet from Hell. It was a day like any other day in suburbia when a man, and it could be any man, starts to leave the house when he hears his wife say, "Hey, that toilet in the upstairs bathroom, it keeps running." He thinks nothing of it, leaves, and several days later, the wife says again, "Hey, that toilet, it's still running." Perplexed by this problem, he goes upstairs to check the toilet. But upon lifting the lid on the tank and looking in, he realizes he knows nothing about plumbing.
Here's where the story gets pathetic.
Refusing to let his lack of knowledge stop him, the man goes to a Home Depot and buys a new flapper. He takes it home and installs it and expects that to fix the problem, but later he discovers the toilet is still running. After months go by, they decide to call a plumber. When the plumber gets there, he opens the lid slowly and looks in and says, "Oh, I see the problem. Somebody put that flapper on wrong." After the plumber left, the couple thought they could rest easy. But a day or two later, the wife said to her husband, "Hey, that toilet's still running." And that's when the husband said, "Well, screw it. I'm just turning the water off on that thing because it's obvious this toilet is possessed by the devil."
Total evil!
Yes, that American standard toilet that they had was no ordinary toilet, because that crapper was the toilet from hell.
I have never been so afraid.
I am horrified.
Right now, I'm going to take a break from all the Halloween crap and do a top 10 list. And the other day, I got a great one from Rockcast Hall of Famer Jimmy G in Chicago. So what do you say I just read that right now?
We could hold off on the Jimmy G.
All right, and Jimmy says, "Hey, Monty, random top 10 list here, and because you're a multifaceted dude, I'll address each item under the appropriate title."
Jimmy G sounds sassy and sweet and cool.
Okay, well, let's see what this is all about. It starts out at number 10 with Monty the Football Fan, Chicago Bears, Cutler Hurt. "It appears the Bears are going to be awful, but how bad? Do you expect them to win 2 games? Well, the problem is, Jimmy, is that I don't live in Chicago, so I don't really follow the Bears. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, which means I have my own problems. Because to be a Chiefs fan, I have to be resigned to the fact that I will always be disappointed. It doesn't matter if they start out 10-0. By the end of the year, when they get to the playoffs, I know I will be in for a letdown. So what I'm saying, Jimmy, is don't worry about the Bears. Even if they only win 2 games, the Bears nor the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl this year."
Say what you want about him. The man knows what he's talking about.
Random topic number 9 on Jimmy's list is Monty the Painter. And he wants to know if I'm still taking commissions for custom paintings or murals. And the answer is yes, Jimmy. I still do commissions for people. I do paintings of people's pets and their kids and all kinds of stuff like that. And I also do logos and murals for people's walls in their houses or businesses. So if you'd like to contact me, you can always get a hold of me on my website, MontyColvin.net, or on Facebook.
Commercial's over.
At number 8 on Jimmy's list, it's Monty the Political Analyst. And the topic is the first Trump-Clinton debate. And Jimmy wants to know, A, did you watch the debate? B, what's your overall opinion? C, did you cook anything special as if it were a Super Bowl party? Or D, did you just take a knee and protest? Well, yes, I did watch the first debate, Jimmy, and I didn't make anything special. I just sat in bed and watched it. And honestly, the next day when I heard so many people say that they thought Hillary Clinton won that debate, I was shocked. Because yes, maybe she was well rehearsed, but I thought she came off as a completely robotic, phony politician. And maybe that's all the idiots in this country really want. They just want somebody that has this big fake smile plastered on their face. And she says all the same liberal crap we've heard before about taxing the rich. But I'll tell you what, I thought Clinton had a great point. You know, those rich people that you want to penalize all the time? They're the people with businesses able to hire people. And when you want to always take their money away, they end up not hiring people and generally taking their business elsewhere. So I didn't think Trump did horrible, but I swear to God, listening to Hillary is like listening to a nagging wife that just won't shut up.
Say what?
Not that I have one of those. I'm just talking theoretically.
Yeah, right.
I've got a great wife that never nags me.
That's what I thought.
All right, as long as we're clear on that, let's move on to number 7. Monty the Artist, and the topic is art. And Jimmy wants to know, have you ever experimented with photography, digital or otherwise, in your career? Well, yes and no, Jimmy. I've never really considered myself a photographer. Because when it comes to all the settings and all that on a camera, I don't know crap. But I do take a lot of pictures that I usually use to make paintings from. And I've actually taken some of the photos for a few Galactic Cowboy albums and even crunchy stuff. For instance, the front cover of the Machine Fish album was a photo that I took. And I also took the photo of the kid on the front of the Let It Go album cover.
Let It Go?
Yeah, so that's what's up with that. But that would bring us next to number 6 on Jimmy's list, which is Monty, the dad who will likely hand out candy to kids on Halloween. And Jimmy wants to know if my family celebrates Halloween by dressing up in costumes. And have I ever done a Halloween gig where I wore a costume? Well, Lindsay and the kids always dress up and go trick-or-treating. And they usually get me to wear something, too. One year I went as a redneck. Another year I went as Gas Fist with the gas mask on. And people were really freaked out by that. They just walk up to me and go, man, that is really disturbing.
Guy's a weirdo.
But I don't know what I'll go as this year, if anything. But I know one thing, I won't be handing out candy. I probably won't even be at home, so you little punks just stay away from my house.
Get off my lawn!
But as far as a Halloween gig, yeah, actually, Crunchy played a couple of Halloween parties. In fact, one of them was in these people's living room. And I didn't really wear a costume, but I did, like, spike my hair up and went as a rock star.
That's very bold of you.
Anyway, moving on to number 5 on Jimmy's list, it's Monty the Sports Fan. And the topic is the Chicago Cubs, and Jimmy wants to know if I thought the Cubs would be playing baseball come October. And the answer is, well, yeah, I mean, you could kind of see early on that they were going to be great this year. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they won the whole thing. But I'll be honest, the only team in baseball that I love is the Kansas City Royals, and everybody else I hate. So I'd like to say good luck to your Chicago Cubs, but I cannot. And since the Royals will not be in the World Series this year, I just don't care.
This is a very bad attitude.
At number 4 on Jimmy's list, it's Monty the Wise Opinionated Podcaster. And the topic, Colin Kaepernick.
A complete a-hole.
And Jimmy says even though he supports Kaepernick's decision to protest, the fact is that in Chicago alone, there are a minimum of 30-plus people shot every week, and no white people or cops are involved. And he also thinks that the NFL doesn't even need to show Kaepernick protesting in the first place. Well, I've shared some of my thoughts on Kaepernick on previous episodes, but for me, it really all comes down to this. For the most part, the media and politicians don't give a damn about black lives or any other lives. What they care about is ratings and votes. They don't care about facts or statistics. The media wants a story that everyone will start talking about. And when Hillary Clinton throws the cops in North Carolina under the bus, she's trying to pander to a specific group. And much like Kaepernick, instead of doing something that's going to help the situation, it's like throwing gasoline on a fire. You get a lot of riots and bitterness and hatred, which for the media is just awesome, because that is the stuff that they thrive on. So my question is, Mr. Kaepernick, what have you actually done besides grow your afro out and piss a lot of people off? I think we already knew there was a racial divide. Thanks for making it bigger.
I know it's the truth!
Moving on to number 3 on Jimmy's list, it's Monty the GC Performer, and the topic is Galactic Cowboy Gigs. And his question is, has the band discussed performing live gigs to support the new album? Well, we've talked about it a little bit, Jimmy, but we're focused mainly on the album right now. But I'm quite sure when we're finished with it and it's out that we'll want to do some shows. I don't know how many we'll do, and I don't know about touring. That we'll just have to wait and see. I'm sure we'll do a Houston show, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to hit some major cities like LA, New York, and hopefully Chicago. But we'll see what happens when the time comes, and when it does, I'll let you know all about it.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Next on Jimmy's list, at number 2, it's Monty the GC Studio Band Dude. And Jimmy has numerous questions for me, including, when you're done with the album, are you planning to allow folks to purchase a copy that includes the band's signatures? And to answer that, I would say, yeah, I think we'd do just about anything to sell an album, Jimmy. And if that is something that people want, I'm sure we would be glad to provide that.
No one wants that.
He also wants to know if the album cover will feature my original artwork, and are we planning a new t-shirt design? Well, I'm certainly planning to do the cover, and hopefully I'll come up with something that everybody likes, but I'm already working on some ideas. And as far as new t-shirts, yeah, definitely. In fact, that's one of the main ways that bands make money anymore. So, yeah, hopefully you guys will buy shirts like crazy.
What do you want, man? What do you want?
Not only buy the album, but buy the merch. It helps us a lot.
No.
Let's see. Jimmy also says, since GC has many famous musical friends like Carrie Livgren, among others, will you have any special guests making appearances on the album, or will it just be the original lineup? Well, my answer would be, we're always open to whatever would make the album great. And it's very possible we'll have a special guest or two on there. But since we haven't made an album in a long time, the focus is going to be on Galactic Cowboys, meaning the four of us. But if a part arises somewhere along the recording process that we go, hey, it'd be cool to have so-and-so play on that, then I'm sure we will.
Okay, next question.
Jimmy would also like to know if we would consider shooting video while recording the album and then later make it available for purchase or download. And yes, we are planning to do that. We're going to shoot video and hopefully make it into a DVD or something. And I don't know if it'll come with the CD when you buy it or whether we'll sell it as a separate DVD, but those are the ideas we're kicking around.
What is the point of that?
And finally, he says, will this be a heavy GC album, or has Galactic Cowboys mellowed like a fine wine and sound like the Jazz Cafe recording?
Wimpy.
Well, to answer that, Jimmy, let me just take a few minutes and tell you what's been going on in the studio.
No, that's okay.
I just went down to Houston recently, and we worked up 7 new songs. I flew in early on a Monday morning, and Ben picked me up at the airport, and we met Dane at a restaurant, and we had brunch. I had this giant bacon omelet that was delicious. And then we went to Alan's home studio, set our stuff up, and started working on some tunes. And of course, I just had a blast all week. I love the writing process, and I love jamming with those guys. And to me, this new stuff sounds very galactic. There's lots of riffs and parts that, yes, I would consider heavy. But at the same time, it's very melodic, lots of vocal harmonies and twists and turns and things coming from out of nowhere that you would never expect. But it's probably too early to say what it's going to sound like because I don't even know yet.
You don't know?
But I do know it's going to be really slamming and rock really hard. And I, for one, am quite excited about it. But what I wasn't excited about was my trip home.
Now he has a story to tell, and what a story.
I had to go back Saturday morning of that week, and Alan told me that he would be glad to take me to the airport. And I said, well, my flight leaves at 11:30, but I'd like to be there by at least 10. And he said, no problem, we'll leave at 9:30. Well, we actually didn't leave till 9:45. But I was cool with that because, after all, it was Saturday morning and there wouldn't be that much traffic, right?
Right.
Well, wrong. Traffic in Houston is always bad. And even though we took the tollway, which is this big giant freeway that you pay to drive on, when we got about 10 minutes away from the airport, we came to a big screeching ass halt. And all the cars went down to one lane, and we were just creeping along.
The story gets creepier.
And I look down at the clock on his dashboard, and it says 10:45. And I'm starting to get really nervous. And we finally get off the tollway, but everything is still backed up. And it was at that point I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to miss this flight. But that's when Alan looks at the map on his phone, and he goes, I'm going to take some side streets. And I'm thinking, well, okay, but this never works. And we're still hitting some stoplights, and I'm still freaking out. But miraculously, we finally get to the airport about 11. And as it turned out, if Alan hadn't taken those side streets, I would have never gotten to the airport until afternoon.
This is an extremely interesting story.
But he pulls up, I just jump out, grab my bags, and start running. And I get in there, and I've got my boarding pass already, and I know what gate I'm leaving at, but I have no idea where it is. And I see this guy who works there, and he's a Mexican dude who's had a tracheotomy. And I run over and I say, where's gate B14? And he says, you'll have to go over there. And I say, thank you. And I turn around and run about 50 yards over to security. And thankfully, there weren't that many people in line, but of course, you've got to start taking all of your stuff out of your bags. And they're like, take everything out of your pockets, take your belt off, take your shoes off. And of course, these people are just total dicks. And you have to go through this scanner, and they're like, hold your hands up, now pull your pants up. And I'm trying to do both at the same time, and they're like, no, not your underwear, sir, your pants. And I finally get through that, and I go over, and I'm putting all my stuff back away into my bags. And I put my shoes on, and then I start to put my belt back on, but I'm like, no, I don't have time, screw it. So I just throw my belt in the bag, and I start running. But when I get out in the hallway, I look around, and I don't see any signs for gate B. And so I go over to another security guard, and I say, where's terminal B? And she says, oh, you're going to have to go down there and take the train. So I run down this hall, go up these stairs, and there I see the train. And as I take 2 steps toward that train, the doors close. And I hear some guy say, oh, there'll be another one along in a couple of minutes. But while I'm waiting, I look at my phone and I see that boarding ends in 5 minutes. And I'm still thinking there's no way I make this flight.
You kind of want this story just to end, don't you?
Well, the next train comes along, I jump in, and it takes me down to Terminal B. And when I get out, I am in a full-on sprint. And I'm dragging my bags, but I don't have a belt on, as you recall, so my pants are falling down. And so I'm trying to hold my pants up with one hand and carry my bags in the other. But I still can't find my gate, and I'm running around asking all these people, where's gate B14? And they're like, it's down there. And so I run over to another place, and I say, where's B14? And they're like, down there, but I gotta check your ID first. And I get through that, I've got to run down these stairs because my flight leaves in 5 minutes, and that's when the handle on my bag broke.
Serenity now!
And I'm dragging it down the hall, but I look up and I finally see my gate. And I run up and I hear the lady behind the desk say, we're just missing Monty Colvin. Is Monty Colvin here? And I'm like, yeah, and I raise my hand like a little school kid. And she looks at me and says, okay, the flight's been delayed. Have a seat. So yes, I did make my flight and I did make it home. And overall, it was a great time in Houston, except for that. But let's get back to Jimmy G's top 10 list, where at number one, we have Monty the Producer. And the topic is Rockcast 180. And Jimmy says, it was a great episode, and really, you're so consistent with your quality, you could be a producer for NPR. Well, thanks, Jimmy. I really appreciate that, even though I hate NPR. But I did like your list, and what an epic list that was. And I've got a feeling that you're going to be in the playoffs come March and be eligible for an amazing prize package. It was a day like any other day.
Oh, come on.
What? It was.
Oh, please.
All right, let me start over. It was a day like any other day in a suburban neighborhood. For the sake of the story, we'll say somewhere in the Midwest. Possibly Missouri or somewhere like that. When a strapping young man who looked to be in, oh, I don't know, we'll say his mid-30s, was approached by his wife, who said, hey, you remember this weekend? It's the boy's birthday party, and six of his little friends are coming over to spend the night. The man went into a state of shock at the mere thought of this horrible idea. But there was no way he could change his wife's mind because she was hell-bent on having a bunch of 9-year-olds into their house.
Say what?
I'm just saying it was mainly her idea.
Excuse me?
Well, then again, it might have been his fault.
Exactly.
Anyway, as the guests arrive, it was soon apparent that this would be a nightmare none of them would ever soon forget. As if demons had been let loose in the household, the sounds of screaming and running could be heard in the hallways. And within the first half hour, one of the boys actually burst into tears and began crying. This would continue into the wee hours of the night, and by the next morning, the husband had reached the point of a nervous breakdown. And when he finally heard the sound of a ball go ricocheting off one of the walls, he completely lost it.
Come on!
As if possessed by the devil, unrecognizable voices began coming out of him. The children looked on in terror, and one of them screeched, I didn't do anything. But the man did not care, because he had completely lost it. And he looked at his wife in anger and said, you will never talk me into this again.
Yeah, right.
What I meant to say is that the husband took the blame for the whole thing.
That's what I thought.
And did I mention that the wife was extremely hot?
Uh-huh.
And very intelligent, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to wrap up this Halloween episode of the Rockcast by giving you a scary concert review. And who could be more frightening than an evil satanic band like Ghost?
Does anyone care?
I'd never seen Ghost before, so when I heard they were coming to Kansas City, I got me and Lindsay tickets. And they were playing at the Midland, which is a great place to see a show. It's this old theater that has all these really cool ornate sculptures all over the place.
What do you mean?
You know, it was built back when people gave a damn about art.
Oh, okay.
And it's got all these different levels to it, so it makes it a little bit easier for somebody like Lindsay, who isn't very tall, to be able to see over the crowd. And so we got there early and got a good spot. We were pretty close to the stage, and we could see everything. And the opening band was kind of an industrial techno-metal band called Carpenter Brute. And they were these three dudes, a keyboard player, an awesome drummer, and a metal guitar player. And there was no singer, so it was basically instrumental, but they laid down some ferocious grooves. And I'll have to admit that I almost found myself dancing.
What?!
Yeah, so I actually kind of enjoyed Carpenter Brute, and they were a good opening act. But after that, it was finally time for Ghost, and I ran into my good friend Matt from KC. And we hung out during the show, and of course, Matt's a big fan of Ghost, and he had told me they're great live, and man, was he right. After about a 15-minute scary intro tape, they finally came out, and they were just absolutely captivating. Of course, they've got the masks on and the makeup and all that stuff, and so you don't know who they are. And it's kind of like the way it was back when you didn't know what the guys in Kiss looked like. It was all kind of mysterious, and it added to the mystique. And I'm not really sure how they play with those masks on, because if it's me, I'm not even going to be able to see the neck of my guitar. But they played flawlessly, and I was amazed how great of a band they really were. Like I've said before, Ghost kind of reminds me of Blue Oyster Cult. They've kind of got this evil persona, but at the same time, a lot of their songs are just really catchy.
They are pure evil.
Now, how evil are they? I still don't know. I'm not sure if the whole thing's just a gimmick or for real, but I do know in between songs, their singer would talk to the crowd, and the guy was hilarious.
He is so frickin' evil.
Overall, I just had a great time. And to be honest, it was actually one of the best concerts I've ever seen. And if they were playing again, say, tomorrow, I would pay again to go see them. So I'm going to give Ghost 5 out of 5 bloody metal skulls.
It was a joy to watch.
But that's going to do it for me for now. I'm going to take you out with a little more Ghost. But until next time, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
The end.
Boo.